before we get started today, we wanted to tell you about some cool stuff we're moving forward on, because you may have heard us mention that we're going to do a rewatch of The Rings of Power, the first season, in anticipation of season two, which we've just rumored to hear that Tom Bombadil is going to be a part of. Ben had this great idea that we'll do the rewatch specifically with our Patreon subscribers. So if you're not a Patreon subscriber, make sure you press pause on this show right now. Head over to patreon.com/podcastoftherings, sign up, and we will let anybody at any level that you sign up, besides free, to join us for our watch along. The first episode of Rings of Power we'll watch on stream together, and then the rest of the season we'll watch on Patreon. We have some other cool things coming up on Patreon too, don't you think, Ben?
We do, and just to be clear, we're doing the watch along on Patreon, but our reviews of each episode is going to be for the public. So it's just a little added bonus content for you guys, because I thought it'd be fun to like talk about it during the episode, and then you guys will get our fresh thoughts right afterwards for the public feed. But a little bit of bonus content. We want to give you guys a little taster on Twitch. So if you have Amazon Prime, which a lot of the population does, you can watch along with us, or you know, pick your favorite Yoho sites, and you know, watch along with us as well. You know, if you don't want to, you don't endorse that, but you know, Bezos doesn't need like everybody's money. He doesn't need a third super yacht. Watch along with us, guys. We will give you a date as soon as we know. We're just gonna just keeps inviting your friends on this podcast. We're just gonna get through those real quick, and then we're gonna do the watch along.
I really hope you are paying in order to see the video version of this podcast, because the feelings that Ben has instilled in me at the moment. All right, Ben, see you on the other side. Hello, everybody. I did invite my friend to this show today, but also, he's been one of the biggest supporters of me and my life and this show, and came up with our first Patreon incentive, which we have still yet to hit. We have Scott Rubin on the show. Say hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott. What was that Patreon incentive that you had?
The movie that we're going to all watch together and talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord of the G-strings.
That's exactly right.
Classic.
So that will be, we won't watch it with the Patreon, but it will be a Patreon exclusive episode where we review Lord of the G-strings for Patreon subscribers once we hit 10 Patreon subscribers. So there's a lot of fun things happening on the Patreon.
I told you guys I've already seen it like a long time ago?
Oh yeah, me too.
Like those early Cinemax days, like, were life changing.
Was it on Cinemax?
Skinemax, yes.
Was it though?
Yeah,
yeah. Like that. Like yeah.
So it like it was on. I might have accidentally seen it then.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was on like late, you know, the late night HBO, that kind of stuff. Like it was in rotation. Mm-hmm.
No, I gotcha.
Yeah, all those Misty Monday movies. So yeah. Good.
God, I don't even know. See, I was just like looking for any kind of semblance of the act in those in that day. Like there was like the rotation of back and, you know, okay, got to go to this channel, see if the act is happening at this point. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, what was it? The Nice Guys. You say Misty Mondays. The Nice Guys is all about like conspiracy, like in the porn industry. If you guys have never seen that movie, it's really good. The main like catalyst of the movie, the porn star, her name is Misty Mountains, and I was like, oh, hey, look at that.
That's fantastic,
right?
That's a good crossover too,
right? Shane Black, you know, he's a fan.
So when I knew of Ben peripherally for a little bit, and then finally, you know, a lot of the restrictions were lifting on COVID, and our like social butterfly friend Janelle Santa Cruz finally made it so that Ben and I can meet IRL, and then Ben quickly weaseled his way on to be a guest on our show. Oh, quickly. See, it's such a bad thing to invite your friends to the show to interview them. Wow,
I will never forget that, like, Because I don't think you knew. I think we were talking in, you were either in my chat or I was in your chat. I can't remember. And you were talking about character growth and how there isn't any in Lord of the Rings. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Did I say that?
You did. You said no one has an arc in Lord of the Rings.
Did I say that? I'm sure I believed that at that time.
Yeah.
I can't say that I didn't believe that. Wow.
But yeah. You guys had mentioned you wanted to watch the Hobbit movies. And I was like, oh, if you ever knew.
Was I trying to like goad you? Like,
I don't know. But I was just like, I was very nice about it. I was like, oh yeah, Aragorn has an arc. And you're like, oh yeah, I guess he does. I was like, yeah, there's a few other people
what
that do too.
What was I smoking?
I don't know, but that's by like for every, you know, we like to call them nerd bros. That's how you converse with people. You don't shame them and be like, you're so like Jessica, like I made, the Avatar, The Last Airbender TikTok the other day, and like people were talking about it, and I made the point because, you know, I haven't watched the Netflix show. My roommate's enjoying it, but I've seen that there's, you know, changes from the cartoon, which obviously there's gonna be, and it's just like it's an adaptation. There's gonna be changes, and I mentioned how in the books, Aragorn has Anduril from the beginning, has Narsil from the beginning, wants to be king, is ready to be king, all day, every day. And, you know, gets it reforged before the fellowship even begins and has it the entire time. And then in the movie, he's like very reluctant. He still wants to be a ranger until literally Elrond gets in his face and like, it's time. Like, we're done babysitting over here. And some guy literally came into my comments, was like, I don't know, man. I think people have seen Avatar more than they've read Lord of the Rings.
I remember that comment.
And I didn't say anything. Wow. And then Jessica was like, I don't, like, she was very nice. And she was like, I don't think that's right. And
well, because what he was saying is not enough people, not our generation, didn't read the books before watching Lord of the Rings.
Like, no one was anticipating the Lord of the Rings movies. He said
no one had read them. It was a very, like, he was almost saying it was counterculture. And I said, do you remember who paid for our tickets, which were our parents who read those books?
Yeah.
But you're right. It was like you were gentle with him, which inspired me to be gentle with that person too.
But and then finally, I was just like, yeah, because he kept going. And I was like, dude, you're comparing a 20-year-old cartoon show to the biggest piece of fiction in the history of literature. Stop what you're doing. And he's like, well, that's not what I was doing. Maybe you're reading comprehension. And I just blocked him. I was like, this isn't like internet comments. Have, you know, I don't want to be Mike Tyson because I'm not Mike Tyson, but internet has gotten to where people don't know how to react without getting punched in the face sometimes. And you know what? I'm not that guy, but other people are. And like there was a concert, the artist Mitski. I don't know who this is. I don't know who the artist is, but it popped up on my For You page. And it seems like a very intimate, like 200 person show. And in between each songs, people are like, mother, oh my gosh, she's mothering. And it's like, this isn't a comment section. You're in real life right now. Like, stop what you're doing. It's embarrassing everybody around you.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yikes on bikes. Well, I've actually seen Scott do some pretty wonderful and excellent navigation of online comments. This is what we were talking a little bit before the beginning of the podcast. Scott's moral code is one that, like, I just really esteem. And, like, if I'm confused about how I'm feeling about something, I can usually get a good temperature on how to feel about something if I run it by Scott. Scott is, like, a vocal supporter of, like, female representation. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. He's actually really
You're leaving. I did this before the podcast too, guys. Like, perfect. Jess, you're leaving too much space in between your words for me to just slide right in there.
No, it's
just
perfect.
Jump in there.
This is what I want. This is what I want. He's a wonderful supporter of female representation in Warhammer, and I've seen you go to town on those people, Scott.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, you. I think the biggest thing you have to remember on the internet is you got to pick your battles. And some things are important to push back on and fight against.
But you can always,
some stuff isn't.
You can always rely on those bro nerds to come to battle when someone does represent, as, you know, What is the, what are they? The Marines, a female Marine,
yeah, female Space Marines, yeah.
And so you're kind of like at the ready, but I do yeah. see Scott like engage them well, and I think you guys are good examples to other people to like. I wish I could do that better too. If I'm going to engage, I'd rather engage better. So what I was going to initially say too is it was Scott's original idea that you take over the mantle from my boyfriend.
I didn't know that till recently, and I was very
true.
Touched.
Yeah.
It was yeah. one of those things that we had bandied about, me being like a little sad that like Alex didn't have the bandwidth for it, mm-hmm. but still wanting to do it. And already you having weaseled your way onto 500 episodes as a guest with us, it made perfect sense. But Scott was couldn't have been right. Couldn't have been more right.
Oh, wait. Which one was that? Couldn't have been
doing,
right or couldn't have been more right?
I'm not doing well.
We'll see.
A lot of brain
fog. We'll see what happens.
There's a big difference in that one word that you missed.
I don't know. You be the guest. So, Scott is a fan. How much of a fan would you say of Lord of the Rings you are? Or like how much does it occupy your percentage of a pie brain?
Not a tremendous amount. I mean, I grew up with it. My dad had all the books. I still have a couple of, I actually have all of his books, but, like he had this cool, like collector's edition of The Hobbit from way back. I read his Lord of the Rings, paperbacks that are falling apart completely.
But aren't they so special to have?
Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. I would never get rid of them. And then obviously like really excited when the movies came out. So yeah, I'm a fan, but it's not like, I wouldn't say it's one of my main fandoms.
But you know it well. And then the other side of that too is a lot of your fandoms have pulled from Lord of the Rings quite heavily. I don't think I understood until recently, like D&D probably is, hey, we want to play in the Lord of the Rings world. How do we do that?
Yeah. Yeah, and tons have been written about, you know, obviously there's so much fantasy lore coming from, you know, Norse mythology and things like that that have filtered down into Dungeons and Dragons and other things, but a lot of it was filtered through the lens of Tolkien.
Sure. Like,
that's just how it happened.
Sure.
And one of the things that actually it's kind of
she's just putting her nose in my coffee right now. So
cute. We'll see if any of my cats come and visit during.
How is Frodo doing?
Frodo is great.
So you care about Lord of the Rings enough to name?
I was
going to
say you have two Lord of the Rings cats over there.
Well, I did. You know, when I wrote my book, Naming Your Little Geek, I did make sure, of course, to include a ton of character names from The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. And then, yeah, when it came to naming our cats, that was our source for, hey, what should we name our cats?
So how much do you feel like Arwen truly embodies?
Zero. But that's
the
fun of it, though.
I didn't want to say anything when we had the game night, but
yeah. And I talk about that in the book, especially when you're naming animals. It's a great opportunity to name the complete opposite, you know, of what a character represents.
If you had to do it over again, now that you know Arwen's true personality, how would you rename her?
Shelob, maybe.
Shelob.
Yep, is Shelob. You know, I really try positive reinforcement when I'm over at Scott's house. Like, hi, pretty girl. And, like, Scott's wife goes, who are you talking to?
Yeah. And you get through saying that, and then she hisses at you
and scratches at
you.
I've got a few swipes.
Have they met yet? Have they gotten along yet?
Yes.
So Frodo is just a little context. Frodo is the newest cat, little baby. And Ben was thrilled to meet Frodo. We have a picture up on our Twitter.
It's such a good picture and such a cute little orange cat.
I was ready. I was ready for the moment. So Frodo's new to the family, essentially.
Yeah, we've had him for a couple months now. He's adorable. He is a rascal. He gets into everything. He gets onto every shelf, under every anything he can get into, he will. They sort of have an understanding. Arwen, who's 9, she does not like him, and she will still hiss at him and bat at him quite fiercely. But, you know, when they don't think we're watching, we'll see them playing together. So Aww. she does she does allow his presence.
I mean, early on, once they had already been introduced too, she was sleeping on the bed adjacent to him. I think that's a sign of, like, at least tolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was absolute hatred, which obviously she does hit her, you know, maximum. I don't, that wouldn't have happened. So we do have something we wanted to specifically talk about, but what, shall we pull your tarot card today?
Oh, sure.
All right. So what's going to happen is I'm going to sift through this and you're going to tell me when to stop. So that way, okay, what I, the card I stop on ends up being your tarot card for this episode or maybe for your day.
Okay.
You fully believe in this stuff. All right.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Starting now.
Stop.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, really engaging audio. Ooh, the Page of Cups upside down for those of you on Patreon who are watching. That's interesting.
Okay.
It looks like an ape man. I'm not quite sure who. It's definitely a hobbit.
An ape man, typical of how my day is going, sure.
There's also a dead orc pink face thing going on.
Oh.
I know. Let's see. Cups, right? Page of Cups. What is the Page of Cups? Oh. Ooh. Okay. Page of Cups is Bandabras Took. But,
okay.
Yeah, but yours is reversed.
Is he a fool?
He probably is, seeing as
he's not the inventor of golf. That's Bull Roarer Took.
Bull. Oh, the one that.
Bull Roarer.
He's the one who. What Bilbo gets his adventure aside from. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like he rode an actual horse and invented the game of golf by hitting a goblin head into a rabbit hole.
Right.
Nope, I think that's who this is.
Oh, okay. Oh. Maybe that's his real name.
Bandabras. Because there is an orc head back here. So I'm going to guess that is this character.
Okay.
He does look like a golfer.
Yeah, it's true.
Reversed is no one begins any pursuit as an expert, and right now you are in danger of your allowing your fear of failure to prevent you from trying. Not only can this leave you feeling self-conscious, but it limits your potential for growth. Embrace your inexperience and allow yourself to learn. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, it is, I do
basically
think...
calling you woke, Scott, so...
Well, I think it's the opposite of...
Yeah, you're saying anti... Stop being... You're so anti-SJW over there.
Stop supporting Trump and...
Right. Don't open my mind to other alternatives, right? I'm a Nikki Haley fan now.
Oh. Oh no!
So she's gonna come back. She's gonna do it.
That was a good one.
She's gonna do it. Let's go, Nikki.
So I have a question.
Yeah,
he's a Haley head over there.
Cool. So how much have you two talked about, or Jessica, in the whole history of this podcast, talked about how Tolkien used his sources?
Probably in the beginning with Alex a little bit more.
Okay.
But certainly not enough for me to confidently talk about it, actually.
Okay,
because one of the things that Tolkien is not accurate at all, even though I enjoyed how ridiculous it was.
Sure. Because one of the things that I like to talk about when I talk about names and naming stuff, I talk about when you need a name for your story or, you know, you're naming an RPG character or something, feel free to, you know, go and look at literature, go and look at mythologies and borrow names, because lots of people do it. It's a common thing. And my favorite example of that is Tolkien straight up lifted a bunch of names out of Norse mythology.
I love that. I love that. Like, cause he kind of gets lazy sometimes, right? He's like, Golgoroth, I mean, and Mount Doom.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, and again, like, that was sort of, Tolkien was out to sort of bring Norse mythology and the idea of Anglo-Saxons, which is bullshit. But anyway, sort of bring that, you know, into English and British, you know, mythology and culture. But if you go and look in the Prose Edda, which I have here, which I carry around with me all the time.
I didn't realize that's how it was spelled.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
EDDA, which is like our primary source for Norse mythology, which is really weird because it's a teeny tiny book. But if you go through that book, there are tons and tons of names, because they'll talk about, you know, Odin, and Odin has like 50 different names that he can be called, and they all mean different things. But if you go through the book, you'll find a lot that are very familiar. And I have a list here that I've brought up, but the names that you'll find in the book include Dwalin, Biffer, Bomber, Nori, Ori, Oin, and Thorin, Gimli, and Gandalf are all just lifted right out of Norse mythology.
That's fascinating.
Those are all names for Odin, or are those different things?
Different things.
Okay, got it. Okay.
So I'm actually not super surprised that the Prose Edda is so small, because when I was listening to a mythology podcast, one of the things they said was the challenge when they were recreating them, and like, because they would kind of dramatize them, is that there really isn't a lot of Norse mythology like written down or agreed upon. Is that correct?
Yeah, because so much of their culture was oral, so they didn't write things down.
So much of my culture.
And then, so even the Prose Edda is a couple of generations removed from the actual people who were telling these stories. And even the Prose Edda, you kind of have to look for, where has Christianity affected these stories?
I see.
You know, but yeah.
Norse mythology is that why is he awesome. Wanted to take? So what would you say his mission was, or do you know this? What was his mission in taking Norse mythology and wanting to bring it to present day culture?
I mean, I saw somebody refer to Tolkien as, what was he? It was a, he was a Scandinavian supremacist, not a racist, but a supremacist, something like that, where he just...
Isn't it worse to be a supremacist? Seems,
arguably.
Depending on how you...
No, he just really likes Scandinavians. He doesn't dislike anybody else. He just really likes Scandinavians.
Right.
Oh, I mean, there's, no.
I think it's fairly established that he thought that England should have its own mythology and you know that can stretch back further and have elements.
They do.
I'm not disagreeing, but yeah, he clearly thought certain stories and people's practices were more important than others.
I see. That's interesting. Because he must have been looking at like Greek mythology and Roman mythology and not seeing that kind of British Empire mythology and wanting to have like that kind
There's
of history.
There's no British, you know, Hercules and Zeus or, you know, British Odin and Thor and stuff like that. So I think that's interesting in its own way. But like... The British Empire sucks ass.
They're
terrible people. So, and I mean, I'm sure the Roman and the Norse, like they, like any empire is not good because they didn't like just go up to people and be like, hey, can we have this? Like,
no, can we cohabitate here?
They weren't just like, empires. Oh, we're spreading our culture around. No, they're just like pillaging and other things that can't be said. Like,
I do to that exact point though, Ben. It's not like that colonizing aspect of Britain is present in the books, at least. Like, he's not glorifying that. I think we would have a different relationship. Wouldn't you say that, Scott?
I would agree with that. It doesn't seem, you're not rooting for Gondor to go out and take over everything.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely just, like, staked their claim on land as they found it, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they actually are, if you could argue against Sauron being a colonizer, and they're trying to take him out.
It's true.
I mean, in a sense, you could look at it. We know he hates an allegory, but you could look at it that way if you wanted. So how do you feel like the Christianity is representative in, like, is Gandalf Jesus? Is that like what you think, or like,
would Aragorn be Jesus?
Is this something you want to talk about even?
No, it's an interesting question. I mean, I know that there's a lot of People look for Jesus qualities in Frodo and Sam.
Ah.
Sort of combined. Their, you know, inability to be corrupted, you know, perseverance, obviously, but still keeping some sense of yeah, and what's the word for it? Not naivete, but just
innocence.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. But yeah, obviously, but you can look at any sort of the main heroes, and I mean, just like everything, you can find parallels to whatever you want.
Sure,
but yeah, it's unlike, you know, someone like C.S. Lewis. The Christianity is a little bit more veiled, which I think is probably why Lord of the Rings has been so popular over the years. It's not as blatant.
Sure.
Wait, C.S. Lewis. I'm kidding.
Could you imagine? I did find that shocking as a kid.
That is crazy, though. Like, how? What do you think the reason was that the Narnia movies fell off the way they did? Was it just they were making them too slowly, that the audience like was growing with it but wasn't ready to grow with it? Because like when Prince Caspian came out, I was like, yeah, this is a little darker and we're a little older, so this makes sense for me. Like, this is the Two Towers basically. And
right
by the time I can't even remember what the third one was called, it was so strange because the first one came out right in the pocket. It was right after Lord of the Rings. It had the battles. It had Liam Neeson being Lion Jesus, and it was amazing.
Oh.
What's her name? Tilda Swinton being the Ice Queen was so great. Like, it was a really good movie. And then I haven't seen Prince Caspian in a long time, but I remember enjoying it and be like, yeah, this is a pretty solid sequel. And I haven't read the books. My sister did. She loved them. She's read all seven.
Wow. Yeah.
And then by the third, I still haven't seen the third one. Like, I still have not seen the third movie. And then and I know Greta Gerwig, that's like her next project, which I feel is a big, big undertaking. I mean, I said that about Barbie too, and she crushed it. And so I'm glad that it is Greta Gerwig, because I feel like she has a vision for it. She has a reason for doing it besides the paycheck that she's going to get from Netflix. But it's like the Dark Tower, where you kind of have to do seven seasons. Like, you can't just do one story. Otherwise, they would have just done The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, because there is a full story there of, oh, the kids fall in the wardrobe, they defeat the Ice Queen, Aslan comes back, and they become kings for a while, and then, oh, was it all a dream? What happened? And then, which is a terribly sad ending. I can't even imagine what that would do to your psyche, that you lived an entire lifetime as royalty, and then you have to go back to post-World War I Britain. Like, that's insane. As a child. Like... I think they cover that a little bit in the books, I've heard, but oh my God, that's
God, what the trauma. You can't. You can't live that life. Well,
and there was that other one too. What was it? The Golden Compass, right?
Yes.
Where they did the first one and there were supposed to be, you know, 100 more, and it just never happened.
I heard the show's good. I know Lin-Manuel Miranda's in it, and what's her name from, is it Daphne Keene from, she's the little Wolverine from Logan.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
she's a good little actor.
Side note, Alex and I just watched all of House, and Lin-Manuel Miranda comes in hot. It is wild. and he's annoying, which House, is perfect.
I got a medical proposition for you. No, I don't know. Was that good?
No, you're not. You are literally lifting words. he's in an insane asylum with House.
That's right.
And they do a rap battle together.
No,
they do a call and response. They genuinely do this. Now, there is some charming elements to the character, but not much.
That's the thing, is that like these procedural shows, when they are in the pocket, when they are, you know, CSI Las Vegas with William Peterson in the beginning, Like, there was a summer in college that if I saw the cold open to a CSI on FX, I'm going to sit here for an hour, commercials and all, and I'm going to watch it. But then, like, they just have to keep going. Like, Law and Order, like, they have to get more ridiculous, you know? Like, now it's like Chicago Fridays or whatever it is, where there's, like, Med and 911 and PD and, you know, like, what I say, like, Coast Guard off Lake Michigan or something. I don't know, man. Like, it's crazy.
Pothole edition.
Yeah, right. Chicago Parks and Rec. Like,
they should do that. Yesterday, really, Alex and I, so we had a tornado watch here last night, and, like, the temperature and pressure dropped, like, rapidly. All of a sudden, it was thunderstorm. It was supposed to snow last night. It didn't, but anyway, it was, like, 70 degrees yesterday. It's 20 degrees now. And the fire department, a little way away from us, the guy was just smoking a cigarette, and I was like, "That's my Chicago fire right there."
So he was ready. He was ready to jump in, though. So ready. Anything happens.
So fire. So one of the things too, Scott, you've introduced me to so many different things in life, and one of them being Warhammer. Another thing being another thing, and another thing is HeroClix.
Yes.
Now, we've had occasion to play Warhammer before. We have not had occasion to really play HeroClix. I think we tried something with ships once. Do you remember on one of your streams?
Yes.
So it was HeroClix, yes, though, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yes. Yeah, we did do that. Yeah.
You gifted me too with the the major original series Star Trek characters of the HeroClix, which is very cool. Mm. They're all on my shelf. And something that I think is really interesting about HeroClix is the fantasy that you might have in your head of, like, oh, what would it be like if Sauron fought, you know, Dr. Demento? You can play out those scenarios. So have you ever included or incorporated, like, Lord of the Rings characters? Are they of value in HeroClix? Do you want to explain a little bit about HeroClix for us?
Yeah, for sure. So HeroClix is a...
I don't.
Oh, okay. Welcome to this world.
Yeah. So HeroClix is a tabletop miniature game that's been around for like 25 years now. It's crazy how long it's been going on. But a lot of people still haven't heard about it. It's weird. But they're
a big thing on Hyper for a while. That's how we know a lot of our friends. Did.
God, yeah, we did. Yeah. I was on a show on Geek & Sundry where we played HeroClix, and then we did it on Hyper for a while. Starting with Hector, and they're like around 2-inch tall figures. They're on a dial base, so you actually turn the dial as they take damage, and their stats change and their abilities change, you play. And the really great thing about the game is that they have multiple licenses and properties that they've done over the years, and they're all compatible. So
it kind of
core,
was like Magic now, where Magic, you can play Transformers against Lord of the Rings and stuff like that.
Sure, yeah. So while HeroClix started with Marvel and DC Comics characters, over the years they've done Star Trek humans and Star Trek people, rather, and Star Trek spaceships.
Is there a 7 or 8 figure in there for HeroClix?
Sadly, they haven't gotten to that one yet. But I'm sure
real Star Trek fans know, so I'm not really surprised.
I got yelled at for that amazing clip. I was looking at it on our Instagram feed, and Instagram's like, people are swiping away. You should consider making the top more interesting. I know.
The what but more interesting?
The beginning of your reel more interesting. Like, I guess the lead is
Instagram is passive aggressive with its algorithm.
Well, yikes. People aren't engaged is what they're saying. So there's swiping away to get, because they're not getting the sample of what that, I knew as I was showing to Alex as I was editing it, I was like, we need this for context, but is it boring? You know, like, people only have this short attention span. What was the funniest moment in the whole episode wasn't grabbing people. Anyway, I felt really hurt by Instagram last night.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Awful. Yeah, so again, so over the years, there have been HeroClix of Street Fighter and Halo and Jaegers and Kaiju from Pacific Rim and Dead Eddie from Iron Maiden covers, and just like all of these random things. And you can WWE wrestlers, and just so many different things. And they all have compatible abilities and stats, and you can play all of them together or against each other. So for instance, Hector, our friend, he loves to play a team of Gandalf and Dr. Doom. And
really?
He demolishes people. It's a yeah, exactly. Then they have abilities that help each other because they're both mystical characters, and yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
I love that you could also build a narrative of like how does Doctor mm-hmm. Doom end up in the same realm as Gandalf too.
Yes, 100%. So WizKids,
I'm sure there's a Marvel comic out there somewhere. They've done everything
for sure. So they started off with a Lord of the Rings set, and then it did well enough that they went back and they did a set for each Lord of the Rings movie, and then they did a set for each Hobbit movie as well. So there are a sizable amount of these figures out there, and they're for those of you who are watching, there's my Faramir, who I know you're a big fan of Faramir.
Do we ever see Faramir shoot a bow?
Yeah, that's how we get introduced to him. He shoots the guy off the elephant. He's taken away.
That's right. Okay, just once, though.
True.
Some of the, I mean, obviously some of the best.
He gets shot by a bow.
Fair.
Arrow magnets. So you have Sauron there.
Oh, that Witch King one is so cool. It's so
good. Wow.
This is why you guys need to be on the Patreon, because
that's right.
I know. So you can see the figures.
I'm not
going to
describe anything.
Oh, that's so mean.
He is holding his big morning star, which is awesome.
That is cool.
And then, of course, you got Tauriel.
Jessica's favorite.
Tauriel's the best character ever. And Thranduil in battle.
The most well-written character, is, I think, is what you mean, Scott. It's the best written character. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't correct our guest.
Yeah, she's just like the most well-rounded, thought-out, well-developed.
She has two good rounds, right? Is that what you would say about her?
Make it three, baby.
Okay.
She's very well-rounded. Very well-rounded.
Let me ask you this, Scott, since I know you well. Yep. Do you like the Tauriel character, actually?
I do. I do like the Tauriel character.
Why?
I like having women and things that I'm watching is one thing.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And, gotcha.
And while it's ham-fisted, I don't mind a little bit of like a romantic subplot.
The thing that bothered me about it was I will buy in. I like mismatched love, star-crossed lovers. Moulin Rouge is one of my favorite things of all time. Romeo and Juliet set me up for failure in life. Like I buy in to the romance. The thing that I don't love is that the dwarf that she well, who's it? Who is it? What's his name? He dies, right? Owen was the Owen?
No, it's oh gosh.
It's I'm, one of the
I'm
twins.
I'm blanking so hard. Yeah,
Keely is, if you watch the extended version, is just turned on by a female elf and then gets turned on by her because she's a female elf later. So it's not like, I love you for who you are. He just finds her hot. And there's no romance in that.
To be fair, if you were on death's door and this insanely hot angel saved you, you'd probably fall in love too, no matter
who
it was.
The love was there. He was interested before this.
Yeah, he was interested because she's a slamming hottie, and then she saved him, and it became true love.
Why did she fall in love with him?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. because he's dwarf without like a big bushy beard. Like he's got like peach fuzz, and she's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's just a man who's short. He's not a. What was that great tweet? How come all of the dwarves either look like they're propaganda about how dwarves are awful, or they're like stunning models with hair attached or something?
There's no in between.
There's no in between.
You're either Richard Armitage or Keely. I don't know. Is Aidan Gillen plays Keely, or you're an actual dwarf? Go look at a picture of Thorin from the movie and then look at Balin. And it's like, okay, one of you is an actual dwarf from Lord of the Rings. The other is just like giving me the Zoolander face for three movies.
It's so true. There's a lot of challenging aspects of those movies, and that's one of them for sure. Let me put it this way. I think she does her utmost. I think I actually kind of, even though I don't love it, I kind of buy that Legolas is sort of in love with her and like still supports her. Actually, Ben really helped me right the ship on what I thought was like F-boy behavior, but he like never demanded. No, you did. You got me. Listen, for all of my hot takes and my incorrect takes, I'm never above being corrected. I'll stand my ground a little bit. I'll dig a little deeper, and then I'll take the note eventually. I think that's a good quality to some extent. Anyway, I kind of like that Legolas is like still going to help her, even though like she doesn't return his feelings. And I think she does the best she can with just totally like, why is she there? But the love plot between her and Keeley is very bothersome to me.
Yeah, I think it's because they didn't have enough time to make you care about all the dwarves. Like when Thorin dies, you feel it. But just like when Feely and Keeley are supposed to die, you're like, okay, you know, when his brother Feely dies, you're like, okay, that sucks.
Bummer.
Right.
But
bummer.
So like they wanted to. Peter Jackson knew you needed an attachment of like why you should care about these dwarves outside of Thorin. Honestly, they like, I know they couldn't because they'd established Balin, but like if he would have died in the movie, then it would have been a big deal because he was the one always coaching up Thorin, you know, always talking to Bilbo, always being like, that would have meant something, but I know that they couldn't because he's got to go to Moria.
They couldn't. They could have given us a, like, he's in danger moment, though, or, like, there's a threat of life. Like, maybe they make a huge digression. Overall, those movies are more enjoyable to watch than not, but I really just wanted to get your temperature on Tauriel. She's beautiful, and she does, she doesn't 100% compare to Liv Tyler, but she does her, oh, goodness gracious. Who's that? Is that Aragorn?
No, that's Keeley. Again, you can't even tell because he's just got a short man.
Figurine, guys.
He's just a short man.
He's making them kiss for all the audio.
Kiss,
listeners. Oh my god! Great, thank you so much. Just
kidding. Yeah, thanks so much for that. That's really all the reason we invited Scott on is just to make action figures kiss on screen. So if you're not on Patreon, then like, I'm really sorry. We're basically taking a week off.
Yeah. It's all about the toys. There's my Tauriel so pop, like, one of the few pops I own.
It's so strange that both of your figurines have daggers when, like, I feel like she doesn't really use them. Maybe in her final fight against Bolg that she doesn't do well against, but
maybe when she comes, to get him, is there like hand to hand battle?
There's a little bit, but remember her iconic scene when they have the goblin, I think it's a goblin or an orc, I can never keep track of if it's a goblin or an orc, but when they're torturing him and she comes in, she does the cool dagger flip and she kills him.
Gotcha.
That's a cool scene.
Okay.
So might be referencing that.
Did not retain that. So Alex has all of the pops. I don't think he has any from the Hobbit. I think he drew the line at. I might have to get. So did you go out of your way to get Tauriel?
She was on sale. So not yes, surprising. But
I kind of want her. I'll take it. I would get that.
I'm happy that I have her.
Scott got me three of the only pops I have. I was gifted an out of the box Arya Singer from Fifth Element. Are you guys familiar with that movie?
Oh, yeah. The blue tentacle?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time. Literally top 5 or top 10 movies of all time. And someone just, a friend of mine from my improv theater, gave me like an actual figurine and the pop figurine of her, which is very cool. And then Scott got me Paul from the Lynch Dune with Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, with the still suit?
In his still suit. Then he got me Fade Rautha, who I don't know that we've met Fade yet, right? Fade is about to be played by Austin Butler.
Is that Austin Butler? Yeah.
Right. Austin Butler. Played by Sting in David Lynch's movie.
Yeah.
And Scott got me Fade Rautha, the Sting one. And I was like, it's cool, Scott, but he's not like half naked, like
yeah, this. He's on his metal Speedo.
Correct. Which was so rude of me to say, because what a just thoughtful gift from Scott to begin with. And less than a few months later, I was gifted the exclusive Fade Rautha metal Speedo Funko.
Wow, I can't believe they made that. That's awesome.
How could they not?
Yeah, it basically is like his most iconic thing. Like
one of my favorite things about Scott too is his love language so very clearly is gift giving. Yeah. And that's how I knew he wanted to be my friend, because when we were doing TTRPGs on Hyper together, he would like go, "Hey, you mentioned this one thing before, and here's a piece of candy that you like," or whatever. Like he would show up with gifts and I'd be like, "Oh, this guy wants to be my friend." Because otherwise he's an introverted, not shy guy, just like not going to like strike up small talk with you beforehand. Yeah. So Scott has adorned me with wonderful gifts in the tenure of our friendship.
Quick insider question. I can ask this because it's closed now, so there's no doxing. Did you guys ever go to the Federal after Hyper RPG and like have a drink or dinner afterwards?
Like twice. And I don't know if you were working there at that time.
I was.
Were you?
Yeah. That's how I met Emma. That's how I like got into this whole thing. It's like I met Emma and Cameron. And then I started like interning and stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. I did not know that was how that connection was made. That's
now,
cool.
The Federal, I have feelings about, because it would always get too loud.
It's a very loud place.
When the band would start to play or whatever.
Oh my God. Tuesday jazz nights were, no one wanted to work them. So like if you were new, you got the Tuesday jazz night because it was a very rude crowd. And it was so weird because like there was two sets. They'd do like they'd start at 8 p.m. or so and they'd play till 9:30. And then, like, it was really, you know, like that, like, you know, some good stuff. Like the stuff you do want to go to dinner with. And then they take like a half an hour break and then come back at 10, basically till close, and just rock the house. And
it's too much.
It's too much. Like, go upstairs, because we had a whole thing
which
upstairs.
You could hear the techno coming from upstairs.
Yes. Like, we had a place upstairs for people that haven't been. Federal is a bar in North Hollywood, two-story brick building, and upstairs was like this whole showroom where we'd have burlesque shows, we'd have comedy shows. On the weekends, we'd have a nightclub. Like, it was a big space. And so, like, when I say go upstairs, it's not being denigrating. They're all very talented musicians. But when you're downstairs in a tiny bar, it's just loud as hell.
I want to be able to talk to my friends. And whenever I was at the Federal, even though, like, the ambiance is cool, the seating was really cool. You can either be in the front room and eat dinner, which is a little small area, or, like, you get, like, a cool little lounge area. And then you can't talk to anybody. And that's not was never like, and I think our show was Tuesday nights. So that's, if we were to go do that, that was after.
Yeah, that sounds right.
We also had like a private party at the Federal a couple times, which like, it was a cool spot, that really turned, you know what it was? I was just turning 30 and my eardrums just didn't want that loud noise anymore.
Oh yeah, I wore earplugs every Tuesday night. Like I'd been to too many Warped Tours in high school. I've been to too many concerts.
You went to Warped Tours?
Oh, that's God, yes.
I'm so jealous.
That's what's so crazy is that all like the When We Were Young tour, you know, just happened in Vegas, where it's like My Chemical Romance and Fall Out Boy and Paramore and like all these bands that I went to a Fall Out Boy at Warped Tour. And I don't want to say Hayley Williams herself gave me this, but like her band, Paramore, was there at the Fall Out Boy thing because it was the same label, Fueled by Ramen.
Oh, sure.
Was that the name of the label? How cute. They were passing out EPs, and I was like, who's this band with this orange-haired chick singer? And, like, High School Me, like, put it on. I was like, oh, this is really good. And, like, I'm not saying, like, oh, I started Paramore, but I was like, I probably have the EP somewhere back at home, like, in my storage. Like, so
that's
I grew up
cool.
listening to
that's
these bands.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
And then it was $35 to see 20, 30-minute sets of all your favorite punk alternative bands. Like, I saw All American Rejects. I saw Thursday. I saw Silverstein.
All of this.
Like, yeah. I remember seeing The Offspring at Warped Tour, and you saw on the side of the stage all the other bands watching them because that's the punk band they grew up listening to. So it was really cool.
That's so cool.
You come to, in 2023, When We Were Young comes out. Oh, sorry, the tickets are $600 to see the same bands you saw for $35 15 years ago. And it's just like, I know inflation exists, not like that.
Crazy town.
Crazy.
But they know that they could get that because people are paying that did. For Coachella. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And they did.
Like, I think that was the ticket price for Paul McCartney when he played Dodger Stadium a couple of years ago, which would have been a wonderful experience to see him. And that was just, I was super priced out of that. So Scott, do you think today's episode with us and how and the way we meandered, like Ben and I tend to, that well reflected in the tarot card that we pulled?
No, but I'm going to use that tarot card to inform the rest of my day.
Oh, that is so wonderful. So when Scott and I were in the same city and we were doing live streams together, he had found because, you know, Scott is a trinket keeper. He has a whole room of all the toys he's collected throughout his life. And then his kids have inherited this habit of, this is a cool stone. I'm going to put them on my shelf of stones now, you know. And he found his grandfather's collection of runes and Rider-Waite tarot cards. So we did the tarot. We read tarot to our community when they would tip us for it, which was surprising, right, Scott? Because your grandfather never showed any interest in the arcane.
Right. Then, as far as I know, he loved education and learning things. So he had tons of books and he painted and he did all of these different things. But yeah, I mean, after he passed away, but we found all sorts of interesting things that he had owned and just kept around. Yeah.
You're not supposed to use someone else's tarot cards, although these, while they looked old, didn't really look used. So I felt pretty good about keeping them. You're supposed to, like, you want to keep that energy pure. We learned things as we went along, wouldn't you say, Scott?
For sure. Yeah.
Thank you for nodding on the podcast.
Excellent. This has been wonderful.
To be fair, Scott caught himself, but he was just like, "Oh wait, I'm not."
Yes.
It's more a symptom of how uninteresting the question I asked was.
I'm sorry. I'm used to live streaming, so.
And we are on video right now, so I get the miss. But it was just funny. It was just dead silence. So I was like, "Yep."
So I think that about does it for today. I think another time we could have you. You did share that there are some Lord of the Rings. How many Lord of the Rings entries do you have in your naming your little geek book?
Oh my God, that's a good question. I should have prepared the answer to that. I'm not sure, but there are a lot. I have an entry for each of the dwarves in Thorin's company, and believe me, that took a lot of time to research what was actually in. What did Tolkien actually say about them versus what was in the movies? Because a lot of them don't really have any defining characteristics in the book
besides axe in their head and
right or the it's the color of their hood or what instrument they carry are mainly the differentiations. But yes, I have a lot of names.
Did you pull from Norse mythology in order to like fill out those kind of names and stuff too?
I mean, I talk about where the name came from for sure. So the ones that are from Norse mythology, I do talk about that. Yeah.
So if you don't know, and we did, you know, talk about this briefly at the top, Scott wrote a beautiful, awesome book that I love having on my shelf called Name Your Little Geek. He's holding it up for our Patreon viewers at the moment. It's not only like just a really great appendix of like all sorts of names. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful looking book that you won't feel sad to have in your bookshelf just in general. True. But it helps. It's always helped me with like coming up with names, you know, other than Jonathan to name my dwarf in my D&D campaign or something like that. So you don't need to be considering having kids in order to get that book.
It's great for naming anything from role-playing game characters, name your Wi-Fi network, name your name sword, your plants. Yes, name your wife. I know people who use it for naming their characters in their short stories. It's also just fun to read about names and characters.
It's great. Yeah, and Scott and I have done a couple panels at Comic-Cons all about names and stuff. Ben, yep. Do you know why you were named Ben?
I don't. I don't think I've ever asked that, honestly.
I think you're going to have to ask your family and get back to us next episode.
Yeah, for sure. Scott, so what do you think is the most popular Lord of the Rings name from your, like, either naming your little geek or just, like, in general?
Sure.
Like, you know, naming your character or pet or Wi-Fi network?
Wow, that's a good question.
I imagine we see Frodo's running around, like a little kid, little boys running around named Frodo.
Yeah, not probably not a lot. Well, hopefully more than Bilbo, but I mean,
definitely. What if someone named their kid Bill the Pony? Like the full name.
I'm sure it's been done.
Can I just go by Bill? No. Bill the Pony, go clean your room.
I mean, I would have to guess that Gandalf is the most popular for pets, especially. I've definitely seen cats named Gandalf.
My friend's cat is named Mithril.
Ooh.
Oh, that's
very pretty gray cat.
I like that.
That's a beautiful name for a cat.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, what's the most traversable to, like, our modern world. Like Eowyn's not a bad name, honestly.
Eowyn's not a bad name at all.
That's true, yeah.
Alex,
and I'm surprised. Like, I wonder, because, you know, so many people named their kid Daenerys this last generation because of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if we've got, you know, any Arwens or Eowyns out there.
Or like a Luthien.
Yeah.
Alex wants to do a Lorelin from the trees.
Okay.
Okay.
The two trees. That's
pretty.
Which is very, very pretty. So yeah, there are ways you can pay homage. I think there's some of these names work really well in your middle name application as well.
Yes.
Do you have a middle name, Ben?
Yeah.
What, you want to share it?
You know it.
I forgot it.
Ben is my middle name.
Oh, that's... I did not forget it then. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Word. We have talked about this, but I didn't retain it. Well, Scott.
Yes.
You can be found everywhere on the internet as Norse Meat.
Yes.
Which came to you in a dream, is that right?
It literally did. I woke up and I thought, Norse Meat, what the hell is that and what can I do with it? I don't have a band, so this will just be my internet name.
It's so disturbing. It's a true story. But it is who you are, and I love who you are. As we mentioned at the top, folks, get involved with our show. Support this show if you like us. If you don't like us, don't tell people to not listen, you know? Or leave
just
a
give us like 5 stars and just like go about your
day. Be on your merry way.
Exactly.
Be on your Merry and Pippin way.
A 5-star review is never early or is it late? It arrives exactly when it means to.
And now is the time, folks. You're hearing this. It's a sign, 5 stars. Go to patreon.com/podcastoftherings and join at any tier, and you'll be able to join us on our watch along of Rings of Power in order to prepare for the series where we're going to talk about the Rings of Power for the podcast.
So a new Patreon exclusive that we're going to have is we're going to have Scott back in a Patreon exclusive episode. We're only going to ask him yes or no questions, and he's going to either nod or shake his head, and you have to watch the video to find out what he says, because he's not going to say a word.
Fantastic. Actually, okay, so here's the thing. Two of our goals are going to include Scott anyway, because if we get to when we get to 10 Patreon subscribers, we'll watch on our own time Lord of the G-Strings, and then come together, quite literally, to talk about it and have that be a Patreon-exclusive episode with Scott as our guest for that. When we hit 15 subscribers, we are going to do the reading of the original version of the Lord of the Rings animated movie, where wherein where Frodo and Galadriel have a sex scene. Boromir and Aragorn have share
a bloody kiss,
like, with Arwen's blood on their lips.
Yes,
so great. The script exists. We'll invite Scott. We'll probably have like Janelle or something on and do that with us. So there's a lot. Yeah.
Also, I will be watching Lord of the Drestrings with my Dune popcorn bucket.
No.
Shame.
I still need to get one.
You just 3D print one, Scott. Shame. I'm shaming you.
No, you can't 3D print these little tendrils that it comes with that like refuses to let your hand get the, like, they knew what they were doing.
Of course they did.
Like, this thing is impossible to actually eat popcorn out of. And if you're, this is why you get the Patreon, is because I'm showing you this thing that Jessica cannot look away from right now. It has got her in a hypnotic stare.
It's so beautiful.
I take so much umbrage with the design of the worm in general. There's been some shots from Denis' movie that I'm like, okay, I can see why he made that choice. But if you know David Lynch's Dune as intimately as I do, you know that Denis was doing his best to not make it seem like David Lynch's Dune. And that really bothers me because David Lynch's Dune's worm is so much better. And then you get a bucket like that and it's just made, it's ruined culture for me for good.
I love it.
Completely given up on society. I'm so glad you got one though. Good for you.
I was walking down the steps of the AMC Burbank and I was getting some side
eye. Is that man proudly holding his sex toy?
And also, the employees know too, because they didn't fill this up with popcorn. They gave me a popcorn bucket and then they gave me this on the side. And I was like, wait, do you not put the popcorn in there? He's like, no, it's a collectible. So I was like, okay.
That's actually valuable information.
That's brilliant. Yeah. It's hard enough to clean as it is.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh my God. It's going to be collected, all right?
Jesus Christ. That is going on our not safe for work clips.
Yeah, no, we cut that one out.
No, I don't think we're going to. Anyway, if you're listening this long, you deserve to hear that. Scott, thanks for being on this show. Go check out Ben on all his respective Twitches and Twitters at TTV Strider with the 3 instead of an E. And then, I don't know, go enjoy your bucket. And until next time, Ben.
May our paths meet again.
God.